God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on extraordinary power. The encouraging word. In just a few moments, we'll be going to Acts chapter 2 in God's Word. And as we do so, know that we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you at 866-899-WORD or meet you online at tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton. The encouraging word.
We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. So I just want to say to you that what I'm about to talk about from God's Word is rich. I want to speak to you about extraordinary power. And I'm going to make a couple of pretty radical statements at the beginning. So I know that I'm speaking to quite a number of people when I say this. When I look out and I see a sea of individual people just like me, there are so many of us. You've given your life to Christ. You know, you're a precious person. And I look out and I see you. We see each other. And I want you to know that I'm thankful for you. I don't want to say something here today that might offend you. But if this offends you, then I will be very happy. Because some of you have got it all, but you are not living in the power of God. You've got all the equipment, but you're not living in the full power of the Lord. Don't go through life like half-hearted as a Christian. Now, I'm going to read to you a passage here. Acts chapter 2, and I want to read to you the first 12 verses, because this is the passage that tells us what happened when the Holy Spirit came down upon the believers. Remember, Jesus died, went to the cross, rose again, appeared to over 500, and then he ascended, went back to heaven. And the believers all kind of looked around and said, well, what do we do now? Jesus is gone. He left us. Jesus said, don't you worry about a thing, because I'm going to empower you to go beyond. After that, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And he is going to give you extraordinary power to go beyond. And this is it. And so what happened here in the New Testament, I wish you could see this place, because I've had the privilege of preaching at this spot. I have many times, I've preached right there at the same spot where all this happened. And where it happens, steps just like this, on the southern steps, right on the northern part of the city of David. And it led up to where the temple was, where it is today. You know, the Golden Dome of the Rock, the most disputed territory today. Mount Moriah, this is going to be the headquarters. By the way, this is where Jesus will set up his headquarters. That will be the headquarter of heaven for all time and eternity. Bible says in Revelation 21, I saw the new Jerusalem come down from God out of heaven. And Jesus said, from now on, I make my dwelling place on earth. You ever wondered where heaven is? Right now, heaven is up there. But permanent heaven for all eternity is going to be right here on earth, because God said so. Now, this is very important. So if I was to take this little lectern of mine and put it over here, just picture this is what you and I picture as the Golden Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. Remember, Jesus is going to land back there where he ascended. He's going to go down past the Garden of Gethsemane, through the Kidron Valley. He's going to cross through the Golden Gate, open the gate, and he's going to go back onto the Temple Mount. He's going to establish his kingdom. We're going to live with him forever. So, In Acts chapter 2, you've got an incredible picture that carries with it massive implications in terms of what Jesus told us would happen. Power will come upon you, and it happened right at this place. So on the steps of the Temple Mount, the place where God will make his dwelling place forever, where Mount Moriah is, where it all began, so to speak, with the sacrifice of Isaac, who didn't have to die because only Jesus could be the one. He's the only means. He's the way, the truth, and the life, not Isaac. What he required of Abraham was your and my obedience, willingness to say whatever you want. And right there on those steps, the Spirit of God came down. And right there at that place, what God did was he brought all the nations together. There were people there from every tribe and every culture, and we're going to read about it. And they were all there. God, in a sense, brought the whole world to his headquarters in order to show that through him, we could go to the whole world carrying his signature, his permission, his authority, his power. Okay, let's read about it. You ready? When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout people from every nation under earth. Did you get that? Go into all the world. And at this sound, the multitude all came together. And they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that we hear each one of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, "How did this happen? What does all this mean?" Okay, quick illustration here. My middle son, Greg, called and let us know that my daughter-in-law, Abby, was going on a mission trip to Africa. I think that's just fabulous. There was just one problem. Chief and Ducky here were left saying, Mom's going on a mission trip, and there are four little squawking chickens in their house. Who's going to take care of them, right? Didn't bother me as much, but it did Karen. So you know what happens, don't you? It's like you just can't help yourself. So I had to starve to death for the entire time because Ducky had to go and take care of those chickens. So she toddles off and she goes, but you will never guess what happened. Our youngest grandchild is a little girl. Her name is Gabby. She's as cute as you've ever seen. Looks just like her grandpa. And she is at that point when she's about to start walking. Now, if that's not the cutest stage of life, you know, it's kind of like, but she wasn't walking. Well, her mother, Abigail, left with express instructions. Do not allow my daughter to take her first step while I'm out of the country. Now, I'm asking all the grandmothers to tell me, how do you stop that? Tie her down, you know? how do you stop that? So the whole time Karen is looking after the four kids with Greg, it's kind of like any time Gabby looked like she was about to pull herself up, it was like walk past and trip her. You know, there were a couple of times when Karen would say, Gabby, come to Ducky, come to Ducky. And Greg would say, don't do that, Mom. It's like holding back a wind, you know. It's like, well, I just want to give you the good news. The good news was she didn't take her first step. And if she did, we wouldn't have told anybody anyway. But, you know. And Mommy got back from Africa, from her mission trip over there, and was able to enjoy as a mother that wonderful, epic event in the life of her daughter. Here's the issue. What was it, and how was it, that my granddaughter Gabby was able to walk and take her first step? What did she have to do? Well, she was going to walk, but she had to learn to use what had been made available to her. It wasn't that it would not happen, but it's like, oh, this thing that I've got down here moves. And you can actually, oh, I see. So what you do is you put this one there. There are a whole group of us today. You've got it. Because God doesn't have partial Christians. You either is or you ain't. You have all of Jesus or you don't know him. And he is God Father, God Son, God Spirit.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of Dr. Wilton's message in just a moment about extraordinary power and that sense of understanding we either are or we're not. We is or we ain't, as Dr. Don would say. Does some of this bring questions to mind? If so, we would love to begin to discover those answers together in God's Word, the encouraging Word. Know that we're available to talk with you and pray with you right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or online as well at tewonline.org. We would love to speak and pray with you. Now back to today's message, Extraordinary Power, with Dr. Don Wilton.
Now watch this, folks, because this is it's a very precious truth that don't wait until you are 90 years of age before you figure out that all of this that God has given to you has been designed by God for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus and to do what he calls you to do. What the Holy Spirit did at Pentecost can essentially be summarized in three things. The first thing he did was he removed barriers. If you look at verse 5 with me, Bible says all the nations came together. I want you to just think about that. The power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, he removed barriers. I want you to just think about America today. We are a nation who really pride ourselves on being one nation under God. But in reality, we're not. And to boot, when you put into that scheme of things, all the people and the culture and the languages of the world in which we live, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the age. How does this happen? How can I do that from my perspective? Because I have inherent barriers in me. I'm barriered from the perspective of my upbringing, my culture, my language. And this extraordinary power that Christ gives to us just removes the barriers, number one. Number two, empowers people. If this passage here is so powerful because every time you read it, these tongues of fire rested on every one of them. No one was excluded. Bible says in right there in verse 4, they were all filled with the Spirit. By the way, watch this, because some of you right now need to give your lives to Christ. When you confess your sin and repent of your sin, and you trust Jesus and you receive Him into your heart, you receive God the Father, you receive God the Son, and you receive God the Holy Spirit. Every bit of God, He is one. You don't receive God the Father, God the Son, and 10 days later receive the Holy Spirit. You cannot divide God because God cannot be divided. But when you give your life to Christ, you become a babe in Christ. You begin that journey. How do we grow in Him? We grow in Him by studying the Bible together, by being in life groups, by coming to church and listening to your pastor, by your personal devotion, by doing, by seeing, by engaging. That's how you grow. And when you grow in Him, you know what happens? You're born, you've got all your facilities. You got all the capabilities and all the potential that God gives to each one of us. And God enables us to develop and to grow in strength, in the knowledge and the admonition of the Lord Jesus. And He empowers us. How developed are you? How grown are you? Perhaps one of these days I will do a study of it. You know, just study the development of we human beings. You know, when you're a baby and then a child and then a younger person, then a tweenager, then a teenager, then a person who gets into their 20s, then young adults, then median adults, then... And you go up the list and you look at the development of us. So it is spiritually in our lives. And the Spirit of God that we read about and that we know about, God was looking upon all believers and saying, listen, I want you to know that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. He's going to remove barriers and He's going to empower you. And third, the Holy Spirit is going to ignite a movement. I think that's three fundamental things that the Spirit of God does for us. He removes barriers, He empowers people, and He ignites a movement. That's what the Great Commission is. It's not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. God does something through His Spirit and by His Spirit. So what did this extraordinary power do for these believers here in the New Testament? It's very interesting to study it. It's a very big subject. Number one, it enabled them to stand up. Verse 14, immediately after this incredible event at Pentecost, Bible says that Peter, together with the 11, stood up in the house of God. Have you noticed, I'm going about this sort of in a back to front kind of way, but have you noticed how many of us are front and center out there, but when it comes to the things of God, we're not? You know, my favorite illustration, have you ever watched a man who can really get into football? I'm one of those, by the way. You ever watched a man who can, man, come game day, he never has any problem. Gets up at the crack of dawn. Have you noticed in our city people riding around with flags on their motor cars? But have you watched how many men can go to the game and get up there with pom-poms, man, go red in the face and blue and this and that and get up there? And guys, as soon as you get into church, man, some of you look like you're recovering from hookworm treatment. Well, what is this? What is this? What is this? What's got a hold of you? How come you so quick to make donations to everything, but not to the Lord's work. You won't tithe. How come you're so generous everywhere, excepting with the things of God? Can you feel that? Power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not questioning whether or not you're a Christian man. Just look at us. The extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to just stand up. We're not all exuberant. We're not all front people. Some of us are quiet and reflective. That's not the point. I'm talking about this. I'm calling you out because God's got our number. Stop being so magnificent everywhere else, excepting where it really matters with the things of God. Are you listening to me? Something's lacking there. This extraordinary power enabled them to stand, enabled them to love all people. There it is again, verse 22. I mean, you can keep going through this. He said, people of Israel. Listen, when these folks stood up, empowered by the Holy Spirit, man, there was such a warm embrace of all people. This is the love of God. It comes from the heart of God. It's a warm, it's God's love. God loves you. It's a warm embrace. Third, he enabled them to tell the truth. You know, when you go through this passage, verse 29 and on, I mean, we can break down all these passages. The Holy Spirit, this extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to tell the truth. Do you know how intimidating our world is becoming when it comes to the truth of God? It's intimidating. But God is truth, and everything he shares with us, and that requires an extraordinary power because it's not always popular, and it's certainly not always easy, and there's certainly always so many avenues of opposition and even persecution. I think of us in America, let alone people in parts of the world today, where just one mention of the truth of God in Christ Jesus could cost them even their lives. And he enabled them, this extraordinary power, he enabled them to invite others with great conviction. I love verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain. I love that statement. There's an invitation there that comes from an empowered heart of conviction and certainty. That's why I can stand here today and say to you, know what, I too am a sinner saved by the grace of God. And I can tell you, my friend, that God loves you, that Jesus died for you. I can tell you your sin condemns you. When you give your life to Christ, when you are willing to see yourself in the light of who God is, and repent of that sin, and by faith, trust him as your Savior and Lord, your life will be so radically changed. God will do something for you that is just so incredible. And then when he has saved you, he will empower you to go beyond. So it sounds like I'm bragging here today. I'm not, but I'm telling you now, boy, do I enjoy football games. Do I enjoy life and getting out there and doing stuff with the greatest exuberance of anybody? So you'll all look at me and say, look at him hooping and yelling and hollering and screaming. I do all of that, and I'm good at it. I do all of it, and I love it, and I get vested in it, and I enjoy the games, and I love family and going, doing this and being together. I want God constantly to give me even more exuberance when it comes to this wonderful good news. I want God to make me just as enthusiastic, just as willing, just as excited, just as convicted. We may express it all in different ways. I'm not trying to reduce this to mannerisms or whether we do stand this or turn this. It's a quality of the heart. And for you and me to go beyond, to tell the story, that's what we've got to do. That's what it means. When we sing, I love to tell the story of unseen things above. I love to tell the story. I'm praying that when I say to you, I love to tell the story, I pray that you can see and hear that I actually believe that. That I actually love to tell the story of unseen things above, which means, you know, I don't understand at all. I try jolly hard and I'm going to keep studying and trying to search and to know the mind of Christ, but I just want to be used of Him. How about you today?
How about you? Pastor has shared a lot of details today, a lot of insight, a lot of answers, but the important question is, have you given your life to Jesus Christ? If there is something that's eating away at you and you'd like to have someone talk with or pray with you, we're here at 866-899-9673. Or maybe first, you just need to talk to God. Allow Dr. Don to lead you next.
Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin. And I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God.
Did you just give your heart to Jesus Christ? If so, let us rejoice with you. Let us put free resources in your hands, and let us walk these next steps together of watching God change you from the inside out, just as He changed Dr. Don and each of us here at The Encouraging Word. You can give us a call right now at 866-899-WORD so we can send these resources to you. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org.
We are at a critical time in our nation. There is an urgency. Intolerance toward Christianity is rising. Religious freedom in America is under an ever-increasing attack like never before. Even though the number of attacks have risen, the good news is that the Word of God has not changed. Good will always triumph over evil. We cannot close our eyes and ears to what is going on in our world. Join us and become an encourager. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an encourager brochure today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. We are delivering the gospel with you and for you to others. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Dr. Wilton's message is called A Wonderful Story, and it's about not only the story that you might think it is with regard to Scripture, but it's how you and I play a part in that story. I hope you'll join us. Between now and then, let's stay connected online at tewonline.org.